Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to listen to more of America This Week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
Thanks to our sponsor, Villanova University. Villanova's Center for Church Management and Business Ethics offers educational programs for individuals in church leadership and administrative roles who are seeking to become better stewards of church resources by improving their business and management skills. Learn more at villanova.edu.
Now back to America This Week, live with Father Matt Malone and Kerry Weber.
Back. You are listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel. I'm Kerry Weber. I'm here with Father Matt Malone, and we are talking with Paul Bauman, editor-in-chief of the journal Commonweal. And we invite you to join our conversation at 1-888-3-CATHOLIC, 1-888-322-8465. Tell us what you want to see in Catholic journalism today. Tell us what you want to see in mainstream media today and how these two might complement each other. Give us a call and let us know more about your thoughts on the state of journalism today. So, Paul, I wonder if we could talk a little bit about the way in which new media and digital media and social media and all these things has or has not sort of influenced the way that you approach what you cover and how you cover it.
In that case, I think we should have brought in some of my younger colleagues to, to handle that question, because
that's also why I didn't ask it.
I'm still pretty much stuck in the paper era, but certainly, of course, we have a website which is very active. We use Twitter and other forms of social media to alert our community to what the magazine is doing. We try to organize get-togethers, events to bring our readers to meet the editors, meet the writers. So we understand, of course, that the magazine is going to have to increasingly be present in the digital world. We think and we hope that the paper magazine was not going to disappear, but we, as Matt knows all too well, you have to be ambidextrous here. You have to do both things,
right.
and we're learning. Of course, we're following other folks with greater resources and more experience, because we don't have the capacity to pioneer in this field.
Right. Well, yeah. We've talked to a lot of young people who actually like options, and they like the print sometimes. You know, maybe if you're on the subway underground, or you like the iPad at another time, you like following headlines on Twitter at another time. And so it's interesting to kind of see where people are brought in to what you're describing really as a community. And I think that's such a really important way to look at the people who read a magazine in whatever form that is, because I think these days people really are looking for community in different ways than maybe they have been before, and especially through communities of faith that can exist in new ways, whether that is in kind of a Twitter community or in a paper magazine or in the person-to-person events. You have events for young adults, right? The Wheel, there's mm-hmm. That you've specifically reached out to. Can you talk about that?
Yes, we've organized get-togethers at restaurants or bars, perhaps even. We've had people up to the office. This is a new initiative on our part, done by our younger members of the staff, and done, I think, very well. Thank you. And we hope to expand that. Of course, it's, as you say, you have to build this community, and it's one person at a time, one connection
after
another.
That's exactly right. And you also, I think, have to really listen, mm-hmm. because there are a lot of assumptions out there about what people in their 20s and 30s want and do and don't do, and a lot of them are not right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know a couple of years ago the Atlantic, kind of pioneered putting long form journalism on digital first, and people said, oh, no one will ever read long form journalism online. They're not going to read it on their screen. Young people aren't going to be interested in it. And then they're, you know, the their viewers, the people who came to the website, actually, for these articles, tended to be younger.
Mm-hmm.
And these were the most popular pieces on the website because it was excellent. It was unique. And, it offered something that you couldn't get someplace else.
Sure. No, it's second nature to younger folks, certainly to my children. It's no big deal.
And people always just, they want good stories. And if they exist on the internet, then they'll read them on the internet. If they exist elsewhere, they'll probably read them elsewhere, too. But you, like you're saying, you have to go where people are. And it's a very... it's kind of a Jesuit idea of going in through their door and bringing them out through another one, maybe.
Sure. Well, you're listening to America This Week from America Magazine. I'm Father Matt Malone. We're joined by Paul Bauman, who's the editor of Commonweal. And Paul, one thing I definitely wanted to touch on in our conversation is, those of us who are either Catholics working in the media world or are working in Catholic media or however we think of ourselves, the Francis juggernaut, right?
Boy, oh boy.
It is extraordinary, isn't it? And you kind of have you have a unique take on this. I mean, because you've expressed in your pages some concern about, being a little too ultramontane, mm-hmm. in our praise of the Pope. And he probably said that himself.
Oh, I think he does. I mean, one of the remarkable things about this Pope, as you were alluding to earlier in the program, is his determination to decentralize certain aspects of the Church's governance. And and this is a lingering concern since the Second Vatican Council. I think it's probably the most important thing that he will accomplish,
right?
That he's handing more decision-making back to local churches. And I think historically you can see that the centralization of authority over the last 150 years is really not in the great tradition,
right,
of Catholicism. So it needs some correction.
Yeah.
And for us, of course, at least upon occasion when I've commented on it, I also feel that It doesn't always serve Catholics to be so focused on one person, on one point of authority.
Because there's a billion more of us out
yes,
there.
Yes, right. And a lot of the problems that the Church has, a lot of these problems will have to be solved locally. Rome's not going to do it.
Right.
Rome can't do it.
So we have a kind of interesting paradox here, right? Because the Pope is focused on decentralizing he wants to, in a sense, call forth the local church and hold it up. And yet, at the same time, all of the media attention is being focused on him.
Right.
Right. And the media attention is being like a kind of hyper-centralized. And even in casual conversations that I have with folks, you're with the church, love the Pope, or mm-hmm. don't love the Pope. And I suppose the conversation always kind of begins there. But mm-hmm. with Francis, it seems to be even more so. And I wonder what you think about this, whether that kind of movement where he's trying to hold up the local church and yet the media attention is centralizing, is that problematic? Is it just ironic? What do you think?
I do think it's problematic.
Yeah.
And I think it relies on a caricature of what Catholics are about. This sense that the Pope says jump, and Catholics say how high,
right.
That the immediate response, and I don't think that's how most Catholics live their lives. They of course, papal authority has a very special place in our tradition, he's not a guru.
Right.
He is beholden to the tradition. He has to be faithful to the tradition, just like everyone else.
I was recently asked in a forum, "What do you think the Pope would say if he met you?" I said, "Well, the first thing he'd say is, who are you and why are you
right.
here?'"
Right. Yeah.
but secondly,
run his interviews,
right? If he knew of America, he'd probably say, "You put me on the cover too many times last year."
Right. Right. Exactly.
Right. And it's interesting because it does speak to people's desire for that, I think, a positive force in the church. And I think people see that in Pope Francis, in someone who is able to unite people. And potentially that can be, as we were saying, the role of a Catholic journal as well. And I wonder, people are having a lot of conversations around this idea of of how well are we catechized these days. And Commonweal and America have traditionally been publications that have been geared toward sort of highly educated Catholics.
In the Northeast, where our base is, right?
And so I wonder if you have seen either additional challenges in terms of how you choose to present material to adjust for people's levels of education or interest in the church or lack of interest in the church, or whether it's just kind of the same same thing at a different time.
Well, my sense is that there's a pretty widespread recognition that there was a catechetical crisis after the council, certainly right through the 70s. And presumably even into the 80s. I think whether your views are what people call progressive or conservative, I think everyone agrees that there has to be a new emphasis on catechesis. Certainly journals like Commonweal in America rely on Catholics who know the tradition and also, of course, are seriously attached to the tradition,
right.
And if people don't get that when they're younger, it's very hard to give it to them as they get older. So I think certainly if you're looking for places where people of different ideological persuasions can agree, it's there. That's one of the places everyone agrees. Let's teach the basics, and then after people are firmly aware of that, steeped in that, then we can go on to talk about other things.
Well, it's interesting. I was recently at a forum in a parish, and I was speaking to a group of young adults who, in their mid to late 20s, and all of them college educated. Many of them had gone to Catholic schools. They're pretty much weekly mass goers. And, at the end of my talk, I just sort of took general questions, whatever people wanted to ask about. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because it's different than a lot of other like Q&A forums, because in this particular forum, the questions became more basic mm-hmm. as we got in. Mm-hmm. And people became aware that I'm not the only one here who doesn't know something kind of fundamental.
Sure.
And I thought, isn't that tragic in a sense, right? Because this is the very generation that has had the sum total of human knowledge at its fingertips mm-hmm. Since they came to consciousness,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet they're lacking this kind of basic information and struggling to get it, find it.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, you're absolutely right, and I think there's a yearning for it among younger Catholics. The only thing I would say on the flip side of that is
sure.
that sometimes we overestimate the depth of Catholic knowledge of previous generations. It's not as though everyone could explain the Trinity to you, in the average Catholic or anything like that. So,
but they could point to a shamrock,
right? Yes, or they knew the disciplines.
Right.
But as far when it came to a relatively high level of historical knowledge about the church or theological knowledge. I imagine there are more people who know more about that now than there ever have been.
Right. And that is the flip side, yeah. You're right.
And hopefully Catholic publications can give people a place to find those answers, because I think it's really important that people don't stop questioning. The only thing, more challenging to think about than answering kind of basic questions of people that you thought might know that already is they don't ask the questions at all. They don't care. And that's a real tragedy, I think, if people start to just not care. I think people are looking for places where they can ask these kinds of questions about their faith and learn more and try to build up a faith from whatever point they've started at.
Right, exactly. So, Paul, what are you thinking about in terms of the papal visit to the U.S. or the Synod on the Family? Are these issues that you're going to be continuing to take a look at?
Oh, sure. In fact, we're about to sit down and try and figure out how to do it. Of course, as you
right.
said,
right, we're all doing
the whole media world is going to be focused on this,
right.
And so a small journal like Commonweal or perhaps even America, you sort of have to pick your spots.
Right.
You can't offer the same thing that's being offered in the Times or on TV or something like that. So we're going to take a good look at the events in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. and we did a number of things about the Synod this past fall. We'll return to those issues. And bring our readers up to date on that stuff. We don't have the sort of budget that allows us to send anyone to Rome, but right. But we hear a lot about what's going on in Rome anyway.
Yeah, yeah, and the Catholic News Service is a pretty good feed,
yes.
Isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. It is.
Yeah, they do terrific work. The other thing that I wanted to ask you about was the role of the secular media in all of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are they helping? Are they hurting? How would you grade the job that the major secular media is doing in covering the church in these issues?
I think it's mixed. Mm-hmm. I think there's some very good stuff out there, and then of course there is some cliched material written with a certain bias. I do think. We had an interview with Archbishop Chaput in Commonweal recently, and he was asked the question about the media coverage of the synod, and he said he thought the media coverage of the synod was fairly accurate, fairly straightforward.
Uh-huh.
And so I think there is a tendency among Catholics sometimes to blame the media, and I don't think you can do that. I would, for example, there's a piece in the most recent issue of the New York Review of Books by Eamon Duffy, a review of a number of books about the Pope. It's a brilliant piece. Of course, Duffy is a wonderful historian, very knowledgeable about the Catholic Church. But if you're looking in the secular media for a informed, intelligent take on the church, that's one place to get it, and there are a number of other places you can get it as well. Religious News Service also has good stuff.
Sure, and we should mention that one of your predecessors, Peter Steinfels, wrote for the New York Times for years.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, Peter covered all religious stories there, and wrote a column for the Times for a long time, and he's a wonderfully gifted journalist.
When we talk about this idea of a journalist who is Catholic or a Catholic journalist or Catholic writers, there's been kind of a debate going on about what it means to be a Catholic writer and what. It's especially in the literary sphere, and since you do cover a lot of that culture, I wonder where you weigh in on that. What are the qualities that make up a Catholic writer?
I'd say you're going to get a variety of answers
to that
question.
One of the qualities is it's hard to answer the question, right?
you're going to get writers the classic, you know, Evelyn Waugh, for example, who wrote, shaped his novels with a pretty fixed theological point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And part of his brilliance was he was able to pull that off. He was able to make that convincing piece of fiction. You have other writers who stand a little farther back from that. I'm thinking of someone who you're very familiar with, someone who writes for Alice McDermott, actually just had a wonderful essay lecture in the Boston College magazine about her approach to literature as a Catholic. She doesn't come to it with the same fixed view that someone like Waugh would.
Right, right.
So I think...
She's more in the Flannery O'Connor approach.
Although a little farther back from Flannery O'Connor, even a little more willing to express skepticism or admit that she doesn't know.
Right.
But one of the great things about it is there are a whole variety of different kinds of Catholic writers. I'm thinking of Wilfred Sheed, for example, who was a terrific novelist, a great critic, steeped in the Catholic tradition. there's a lot going on.
Right. Well, and that's one of the wonderful things about the church is that it doesn't force us to label anyone in that sense.
That's exactly right. So we have a couple of minutes left. Paul, tell our listeners why they should read Common Wheel and how to find it.
You should read Common Wheel because it's very carefully edited. we have some terrific writers. As I said earlier, you can get a variety of different perspectives on any number of different issues. It's readily available at commonwealthmagazine.org. That's our website. Go there, take a look. We have a blog where people mix it up and keep talking to one another even when they disagree.
A lot of big conversation happens there.
And I'm told that it is compared to everything else in the world, it's a very civil conversation, which is not necessarily the case when it comes to blogging and things like that.
Right.
Commonweal is a bargain at twice the price.
And so it's commonwealmagazine.org.
Commonwealmagazine.org.
Commonwealmagazine.org. And I encourage all of our listeners to check it out. It's a terrific work, and we're really proud to have Commonweal as friends and colleagues.
Well, so, Matt and Carrie, thank you so much for this invitation. Good to see you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on SiriusXM 129. If you want to hear the full show every week, subscribe to SiriusXM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129.